You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of November 15th, 2023. And Miyamoto? More like Moviemoto.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And this week we take a break from all the games we're playing to talk about the future of Link on the silver screen.
Yeah, I'm excited for this chat because I think I'm going to make some bold predictions about the future. and I want to get your feedback and thoughts on it. So diving right into it. So there was a recent announcement. I guess this was like a day or two ago.
Maybe
last week?
Yes, last week. And then we've been just kind of like, you know, it's big news when Nintendo posts a tweet that starts with, "This is Miyamoto."
I mean, 100%, right? Like he speaks with the power of like, What's the thing that speaks for God?
Like Gabriel's trumpet or something?
It's like the I don't know, the mega cube or whatever, the hedron or something. He's like, you know, the classically, I imagine Miyamoto when he speaks is like this the classic angel. Yeah, like multiple eyes and rotating indecipherable wings and stuff. Yes. Yeah. That level of speaking. So Miyamoto and the group made the announcement that they are making a Legend of Zelda movie. Now, this isn't surprising, right? The Mario movie was the biggest summer blockbuster of the year. I guess
outside
of the Barbie
movie.
Yeah,
once that thing made $1 billion, they were like, okay, insane. Yep, here we go.
Yeah, and so, like, of course they're going to make one. But, man, like, we'll get into the details. I think this is one of the most fucking perplexing moments in game movie history.
Put it on the list for the gamies. Perplexing Nintendo.
Yes. I mean, again, classic Nintendo. Okay. So I just want to go down the list a little bit because there's a lot of things I want to talk about, but I want to jump around a little bit. So first and foremost, this is a partnership with Sony Pictures. They're both bankrolling it. Nintendo's going to be banking like a little, they said over 50%. So they're covering the majority of it, but it's in partnership with Sony.
Is this kind of how they did it with Mario? Like they did the Illumination and did Nintendo also fund it or do you know?
They did. Yeah. I think was a majority funding of that project. Here's the weird thing though. That's not true of Illumination. Sony is a direct competitor to Nintendo.
That's true. So, kind of, I guess.
I mean, it's a little bit weird that they would partner with Sony, right? I think so.
I mean, I feel like, the reason why I say that is because in the, you know, we just had all of that Activision, Microsoft merger court testimony. Mm-hmm. And in that testimony, it was clear that both of those companies in many ways thought that like Nintendo was its own thing. They were like, our competitor is Sony, and Microsoft, and Sony's like, our competitor is Microsoft. And both of them were like, Nintendo be Nintendo. And it's like, okay, I get it. Like, I just feel like,
I wish I could live my life the way that Nintendo exists, you know?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the dream? Fuck everyone else. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to do my own thing. Like, that's the Nintendo energy I get, right?
I mean, I guess it's like, it's aspirational, you know? And I mean, when you've created something like the Switch, I mean, really, it's just a good example of once you have enough money, you get to do whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's buck wild. Okay, you know what? So I'm going to reorder this. I'm gonna make a couple of bold predictions, and then I'll provide evidence, like court style, right? Okay.
Yeah.
First prediction, I think this Zelda movie is going to fucking suck, okay?
Uh-huh.
Prediction number one.
Live-action movie, so it's already kind of like, oof.
Well, so that's a big thing. And then the second thing is, I think that this moment marks a turning point for video game filmmaking, and that in 5 years, we will see multiple big budget video game movies being a cinema mainstay in the same way that for an interesting window, Marvel superhero films defined summer blockbusters.
Mm. We'll enter a, like an avalanche of video game movies in the same way we entered an avalanche of superhero movies.
Yes, and I think Nintendo, interestingly, is leading the way, which is just buck wild. Okay, so going back to my first proclamation, this movie's going to suck. Okay, so you mentioned live action.
Yes.
When I think about Zelda and the recognizable iconography, it's like pigmen, weird obese rock people, a version of Link that is abnormally shorter than the average person in Hyrule.
Is there going to be a Tingle sighting?
Tingle, great
example,
right? Like, so when we look at the Mario Brothers film, that is just a hose of nostalgia, right? They're just spraying like nostalgic iconography everywhere, but it works within the animated confines of the film. And a lot of the things that you see or recognize fit within the rest of the fiction.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you can take from The Legend of Zelda and not have it feel kitschy or cheesy in a live action setting.
Right. Right.
I mean, do you agree? Like, is there any, like, I'm just, what works? Like, what, from your perspective from the Zelda things, what works in live action? Like, does any of this work in live action?
I mean, the live action thing is very odd, especially, well, I don't know. I guess they've done a lot of different art styles with Zelda over the years, but I mean, it's
so that's,
varied a lot, you know?
That's another interesting thing I wanted to pick your brain about, right? Which is like, there are so many different styles of Zelda. And Miyamoto has specifically, Nintendo has said in their press release that their goal with this film, and probably franchise, let's be honest, is to bring viewers to Zelda, not the other way around, right? This is not meant to be a sort of just a fan service thing for fans of Zelda. This is meant to bring in new players into the Nintendo ecosystem whose first experience with Zelda might be on the movie screen.
Yeah.
Right? So with that in mind, how do you accomplish what Mario accomplished, right? Like, what setting do you set this in that is the, I'll attract anybody, right? Like, is it a classic fantasy story in the sort of OG Legend of Zelda? Right. Do you do like Wind Waker where like it's more fun and childlike and like wonder? Like, it's just, it's hard to wrap my head around not only it being live action, but like what setting do you choose? What art style do you choose? What narrative do you choose? I think straight up, I think some of the conversations we had originally about, you know, Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom would be that might be the new, that this is the new Zelda, right? And in a way, my assumption going into this was that Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom would be the defining sort of franchise backbone to the film. Yeah. But given the news that this is a live action film and their goal of attracting the external audience, I don't think that works. I don't think Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom as a live action experience works, right? Like, are you going to do mechanics like, you know, causing rocks to go back in time? Like, are you freezing like an energy so it whacks itself? Like, that just doesn't, the mechanics don't translate to a classic story, right? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I think the like the core of Zelda, the, you know, the kind of more older school Zelda of bad man captures princess, young hero goes to fight, to find and fight, you know, is
AKA the Mario Brothers plot.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think, but the reason why they can do it in the Mario Brothers plot is like, weirdly enough, it was more character driven, you know. The you just got to know the Mario Brothers and, you know, Peach and her whole thing, whereas And you know, I think to Nintendo's credit, they had established more of that stuff throughout all of the games. You know, in many games, Bowser vacillates between being a super scary bad guy and kind of like a bumbling idiot bad guy, and like they did that in the movie. And in many games, Luigi stumbles between being courageous and cowardly, and they did that in the movie. And like whereas, like, if I had to, like, if I asked you, what are Link's defining character traits? No one can answer that because he doesn't have any, you know?
He doesn't even speak dialogue. Like, there's no lines.
Yeah. So it's like, where, what are you going to build on? And if you just have a hero goes to rescue princess story, you have to lean on, you have to either create Link's character for the first time ever in history, except for the 1989 Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Excuse me, princess.
Yeah. Excuse Link. Me, princess. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only time that like Link has ever had like a personality of any note,
which is like a dick personality. Like he's just,
and
a
he would not survive in a post Me Too world. Right. So it just wouldn't happen. But I mean, like, so it just, the movie has to do a lot of work in that case, because you can't fall back on the characterization of these characters. You know, Ganon has more of a character arc than Link
does. Princess Zelda does. And honestly, maybe that's where you pin it.
Especially now.
Yeah, especially now. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a steep hill to climb, especially if you're going to, like you say, kind of do it live action, which means you're probably going to try to ground it more, you know, in a realistic mode instead of having, like, I wish, you know, it would be so awesome if they did like a Miyamoto Miyazaki team up, and it's like Studio Ghibli is doing the Zelda movie.
That's the thing that is bonkers to me is there are so many great, before the show, we were talking about two modern animated films from independent studios. Like there is talent out there around animation.
Yeah.
That is incredible, right? Like look at Into the Spider-Verse or Across the Spider-Verse, right? Like I actually don't think that, I can't think of a time where outside of Japan, like Western animated studios were just fucking killing it back to back.
Yeah.
They could have easily tapped talent. I mean, yeah, Studio Ghibli would have been amazing, but you don't even have to get a high level, you know, lead as big as Ghibli. Like you could go elsewhere, right? In fact, they could have worked with Illumination again. It didn't have to be the same style, you know?
I'm kind of shocked that they didn't do that, because it seemed like everything that they talked about with that partnership, and then the results of that partnership was so positive that it just
was that like a long-term thing.
Agreed. It's odd for sure.
So going back to like the live action setting stuff, is there a setting or story that you would lean on, right? Like my initial thought would be, I think an adult Link would be weird. It would be the weirdest one, right? I think the story has to be about a young Link, which justifies their height, to be honest, right? So we're talking about a child, and I think that kind of story could be interesting, like with a with someone like that. And then my other thought would be like a threat that just makes a bit more sense than Ganon, right? Like then,
yeah.
I mean, it probably is going to be Ganon anyway, but like, there's just like there's a threat that isn't present, right? In the way that in Bowser's. In any game, right? Bowser's always there. He's always taunting you, or like, you know, in Super Mario Brothers Wonder, like all the castles look like fucking Bowser's face and stuff, right? Like he's present. And in a lot of, especially modern Zeldas, like Ganon is this sort of unknown threat until the end of the game, right? Yeah. So my only other initial thought would be like, I don't know, like Majora's Mask or Ocarina of Time or something where there's just like, there's a sort of obvious gimmick to the world as it's happening, you know, like the threat of the moon or, you know, time being reset could make for an interesting showcase.
Right.
But maybe that's too much to wrap your head around, or I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I think the compelling thing, well, one, I agree with you that I think they're going to have to go young Link, because I think that's what draws in. That's what draws people
kids
in, you know, like, exactly. It's like when you're, it's already, I can't foresee a movie in which Link is not the stand-in for the audience.
Yeah.
And in order to hit the audience that they want to hit, it'll probably be at least like a tween or teenager Link, you know, at most. And so I think that makes a lot of sense. And then to your point about the, like, what is the conflict? What is the story? The one interesting conflict that Zelda does have, and they go into this more in like Wind Waker, is it's interesting that there's always these three characters that are, you know, Ganon has the Triforce of Power, Zelda has wisdom, Link has courage, and they're all kind of linked together.
Linked?
Yeah. For, you know, a link to the past, a link between worlds, a link between all the Triforces. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's interesting, but it's kind of a heady topic that actually probably requires many, many years and many different stories to start to really appreciate.
Yeah.
And if you're going to try to tell that story in a movie, like that's, again, that's a lot of ground to cover to set up a story that is 10,000 years in the making of, hey, this is truly a legend. There's always these three parts and they always have to be in balance. And sometimes they become out of balance, but then it corrects itself and rebalances. And sometimes it's the bad guys win and sometimes the good guys win. But like,
right.
There's always this weird triangle that is happening between all of these characters, which I think is kind of an interesting concept. From Dude, a like,
but like, man, you know, there's no way they're gonna do that though, right? Like,
I know. I like, know.
calling back to our Mario movie discussion, that was the most run of the mill, safest. Yeah. Like, we are on a train; we're not taking any creative risks at all, right? Like, so what you're talking about sounds cool, but like, no way,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, and I think a lot of the Zelda plots are like that, where. I mean, it would be kind of, I mean, I could see something where they do a thing where there's still a big bad guy. Ganon is still the big bad guy, but maybe his plot is, I'm just going to destroy the world and I'm going to crash the moon into it. And that's the ticking time, you know, that's the ticking clock of the movie. Yeah. And so they kind of mash those two things together and give
you.
Does
the moon have a huge face on it?
I mean, that's the other weird thing. It's like, there's some like Zelda is just kind of like an exceedingly strange franchise in terms of like, aesthetics and choices and other things that they've made. So it's like, I think Zelda, even in a weird way, just as much as Mario, lends itself well to fantastical imagery. And I have this sinking feeling that if they go full live action, unless they do something very interesting where like they kind of do like a, you know, a hyper real, you know, like a, imagine if the Wachowskis made Legend of Zelda, you know, like something.
Oh,
that
God,
is like
the dream. Yeah.
Technically live action, but like hyper reality live action. Like I get this sense that it'll just be like a mess of green screen and CG shit, you know?
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's very likely to be the case.
It kind of reminds me of, you know, they put out that Warcraft movie a few years ago.
Oh God, yes. Uh-huh.
And I never even saw that whole movie, but everything I've seen of it just looks like kind of a CG mash, you know?
I mean, there's a part of me, right, that sort of remembers fondly the era of live action fantasy films for younger audiences, right? Like we used to have Legend or Willow, which I actually recently rewatched, right? And the movie's not great. Yeah. But there's no CGI, right? Like all the sort of makeup on the dogs to look like these weird war creatures is super cool. Yeah. And the film is carried by strong performances by Val Kilmer and Warwick Davis, right? Like they are personality-driven fantasy epics, right? Neverending Story as another example. And we don't really have those anymore. We have things like Pete the Dragon, where the dragon himself is CGI. And like maybe that's a little bit more in that vein. But there could be a scenario where they went much more realistic, minimize the CGI, that could be cool. I just think there's too much of the bones of the Zelda world that need to be like either extremely reined in or fully CGI.
Yeah.
And also reined in a little bit, right? Like in order to tell those stories, because it's just too weird. I mean, even the enemies, right? Like weird little pig demon things.
Yeah.
Or like weird faces with legs. Like these are just... Yeah. These are normal things that you would recognize in the Zelda world, but just would be off or weird, right? Or like the ninja clan, right? Like
The Yiga.
the Yiga. Like they look cool in the games, but how do they look like in real life? Like they look like someone cosplaying a ninja. It's just weird, right? Like some Naruto motherfuckers popping out of nowhere. Like it doesn't work, right? In my mind. So,
well, you know what? It's funny that you mentioned that because this was literally, I mean, I feel bad for Hanna because sometimes I just like go on a rant about nerdy shit that I care about. But, like, I was
and another thing.
One more thing. I watched the trailer of the forthcoming live action Last Airbender series that they're doing on Netflix. And my reaction was, they seem to be hewing very close, at least in the trailer. There were certain scenes that I recognized from the TV show. Yeah. But then... It looks like cosplay to me.
Oh, yeah.
And like even like the sets and the costumes, like it works in an animated context because you have an art style and you need it to be a certain level of vibrancy and contrast and to fit with the animation and to distinguish between characters. But like when you do it in a live action way, like it does look like a Comic-Con set. You know, like there's a reason why they didn't do the yellow suit Wolverine in the X-Men movies.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. And the hope would be, I mean, I'm tentatively optimistic about Avatar because my hope would be that there it can be addressed with color correction or, you know, with time you grow accustomed to it. Right. But it's so interesting, right? So thinking about like a live action fantasy now, have you watched the Wheel of Time series on Amazon at all?
It's on my list, actually. I haven't done it yet, but multiple people have said, like, hey, you would probably like this.
I think it's good, but what's so interesting about that show, right, is it vacillates wildly between extremely tacky and almost, like, comical, right? Like, the character becomes like a werewolf, and his eyes glow yellow, and it's like, okay, this is super weird. And then you have scenes with Rosamund Pike, who is clearly the best actress in this entire show. Like, she's acting at a level that makes everyone look fucking terrible because she's that much better of an actress than the rest of the cast. And when she's on, I'm fucking in it. Like the world feels real. It feels like peak sort of Game of Thrones world. And despite the fantasy elements, it feels grounded because she is delivering a really strong grounded performance that you lose sometimes with these other actors. Yeah. It's the risk, I think, of any sort of the cosplay element, right? Mm-hmm. I think you can have certain actors pull it off because they embody those roles so well. But when you are asking more and more and more actors to carry the burden with an ensemble cast, it becomes harder, right? When all of the people in the background are also wearing it, it becomes harder, right? Like, and you're interacting with them in that way. So I don't want to waste time being like, who should play Link? Because I think there's plenty of other podcasts talking about, you know, actor predictions for that. But it is one of the sort of insurmountable challenges I think this faces, because when you have it in live action, you need people that are fully embodying those characters to make it work, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think I've seen anything from, you know, well, in fact, maybe this is a good segue. So I want to talk about the talent behind it real quick. So they're partnering with Avi Arad for production, the man who brought you such films as Morbius and pretty much It's Morbin time. Venom. He's basically been producing all of the Spider-Man stuff. He's like CEO of Marvel Creative. And some good stuff, right? Like he did the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films and, you know, so much of pretty much every single Spider-Man film, including Across the Spider-Verse. So
he I was trying to figure out like how he got famous because this RVA, right? Like he's fucking old, too.
And he's 75 like, years old.
Yeah,
he's and super
I was
old.
Like, what's the deal here? I don't know. I was just trying to like do some research as to how
Biden's too old and Avi Arad's too old, right?
So I guess I mean he's just he took over Marvel when in he was like first gen
Marvel, pre-Marvel,
like after the crash, like after the early. Yes. After the 80s and 90s crash, he was part of the renaissance of like the Tobey Maguire era.
And to his credit, I don't think that we would be where we're at today with superhero films if it wasn't for Avi Arad, right?
Right.
And but he's also produced some stinkers, right? Like it's not like he pins his hat on the great films. He pins his hat on what he thinks is going to make a lot of money, right?
Right.
And for better or worse, like that Venom movie made a lot of money in the box office for a relatively low budget. Right. You haven't seen the Madam Web trailer, but it looks like absolute mid-2000s schlock. Like, I think it looks terrible. But it is what the Sony Pictures group has been doing with the IP that they have access to in the Spider-Verse realm without Spider-Man. And the result is relatively low budget films that are actually performing pretty well. Morbius is a huge sort of outlier there.
Dude, but the Venom at his movies. Thing, like, he's like a. Like he goes way back. Like he has producer credits on everything from like Elektra in like the early 2000s
to Daredevil,
like
multiple
ghost writers. I mean, oh man, he was a producer on the Uncharted movie that came out last year.
Yeah. So that's one of the interesting things about this whole move, right? Because so we're in a world right now where Marvel is at there. I mean, to not mince words, they're in complete turmoil, right? Like what Marvel Studios is doing right now is sort of retrying to figure out how to get back on track with where they were before, right? There was an era during the Avengers age where Marvel defined cinema in a very real way, right? Like there were 3 to 4 big budget Marvel films that were raking in hundreds of millions of dollars every single year, right? There are what, 33 movies in the Marvel canon? And now there's a bunch of TV shows.
Yeah.
The, you know, not Thanos. Was Thanos? Yeah, Thanos has come and gone, right? Like we've moved we've moved past Endgame and there's fatigue and there's too many TV shows to keep track of, and a lot of the TV shows are just straight up not good, right?
Yeah.
Next year, 2024, the only Marvel superhero movie coming out is Deadpool 3, which is only tangentially related to the sort of greater Marvel universe, right?
Right. I think that's another one of those, like, you know, crossover, like, Sony ones,
it is. Right? It is, yeah. And so what's interesting to me, right, is, like, Deadpool 3 is the only 2024 release. So we know that, like, the superheroes dominating the box office are in the downturn. Yeah. Avi Arad has been just churning out superhero movies for a very, very, very long time.
Decades now.
Decades, right? Like, and I think this movie is going to be bad, but I do think that this marks like a moment in time where video games can seize the box office in the way that these Marvel films did. And I think Mario Brothers was the first example of this. I think the Barbie movie success shows that you can take something with very little narrative backbone or things that are difficult to describe, give over creative control to someone and have it be a huge success, right? So we're going to see more Mattel movies and we're going to see more. They already greenlit, like, I don't know, fucking Thomas the Train Engine or whatever, like, hogwash that they have. You know, the Game of Life is going to be a fucking movie or something. So I think we're ready for that stage, right? And then two pieces of things of evidence that we talked about before the show. One was the new trailer for the it's not live action. I guess it's sort of stop motion animation. Yeah. Pokemon Concierge show on Netflix.
Yes.
Right. Which I think to me looks actually really good and is very interesting. But most importantly, in this context, I think showcases that we're getting to a point now where the publishers, Nintendo and Pokemon Company are great examples, are going to be less, maybe slightly less precious with or hesitant with classic IP living on in film and television, right? Like, this is a Pokemon show that is not about Pokemon trainers. It's not about capturing them all, right? But it looks cute, and they put it into the hands of someone that is creative, and I think there's more creative freedom now happening when it comes to game movie production and game television production, right?
It reminds me of those, which I think Pokemon fits well in, those kind of like the slice of life anime subgenre.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, this is a story about people, kids who, this is an anime about people who go camping, you know, like, or, you know, this is the a comfort. Movie about, comfort anime basically. And like, I don't know, like, I think this Pokemon show looks pretty good, actually. Like,
so do I, know, yeah. In terms I think of it looks great. Doing. Yeah, I think it looks awesome. I think it looks really cool. And then I also sent you a trailer that Sony put out for PlayStation 5.
Yes.
Called Feel It Now. So this is a bit of a stretch, right? But if you watch this trailer, and we'll link it in the show notes, it showcases live action versions of classic Sony games that are available on the PlayStation 5. So you can see Horizon Zero Dawn in there. I think you see like Motor Rally or like whatever, some Motorfest game. It's not Control. What's the space one that you liked a lot?
Eternal.
Harry Potter, Spider-Man 2, and
a lot of Destiny looking shit in there somewhere. Like it's
But like, look at all of the Horizon Zero Dawn stuff, and tell me that you could not see that easily on Netflix or HBO.
Oh, they're doing they've greenlit. I think it's Amazon.
Oh, really? For a Horizon
show? Yeah, like that's confirmed.
Right, they have The Last of Us in there, which of course has a television show already. They show a God of War live action, like that easily God of War. Could be getting a movie announcement like this, right?
Yeah.
Sony Pictures.
I want to say there's some sort of pre-production happening on a God of War show or movie too. I don't know.
Right.
I'm not as solid on that one though.
Well, so what's interesting to me, right, is that Sony made this trailer, and yes, it's live action, it's just showcasing stuff for like PlayStation 5, but I think it is a little bit indicative of the future that we will see, right? Which is to say, Sony Pictures in particular is primed, and Nintendo, I guess, with this Zelda, are primed to lead the way when it comes to game storytelling in live action in the cinema. Yeah. The way is a little bit cleared right now because superheroes are on the downturn from a blockbuster perspective. I think, and it's going to be a while until we see Zelda live action, but all the production is going to be starting up for these things now. And I would be shocked if we don't see a domination of video game movies coming to the big screen and high budget television shows, not just like animated versions of things that we've already seen on Netflix, right? Like true live action storytelling of video game stories up there, because there's so much brand recognition of those IPs. They are super compelling. And in the case of The Last of Us or Pokemon Concierge, it's clear that when you give creative freedom to someone and lean into it, you can make something that's like really evocative and really successful, right?
Yeah. I just wish I'm going to have faith that they know what they're doing or whatever, but I wish they would be more creatively risk-taking with it. You know, like, what if they made a Zelda movie and Link didn't say a word the whole time?
Oh, it's a silent film. Yeah.
What if they did that? What if, like, I mean, you could imagine the opening sequence of WALL-E, but, you know, the whole movie where Link doesn't say something, and it's a classic story. What are the classic stories? Man versus man versus beast, man versus nature. Like, imagine if it's like a man versus nature story where like Link is traversing a post.
It's like The Revenant.
what if Link is traversing a post? What do they call it in Breath of the Wild? Cataclysm or calamity? What if Link is traversing a post calamity world and he needs to get from one side of Hyrule to the other by himself, and he's 14?
Dude, that would be
and he's
sick.
Fucking figuring it out, and he's alone. He's alone the whole time. And it's like what a great movie that would be. But
his only line is at the end when Princess Zelda thanks him. He says, "No problem."
And his and only, winks at the his camera. Only line is, "Excuse me, princess."
Excuse me, princess.
I want to see something like that. You know.
Well, then you'll be pleased to know that it's being written by Derek Connolly. He wrote all the Jurassic World films.
Oh, great! So so Link will come across some bokoblins and he'll be like, "Wait, stop!" and like hold out his hand overwritten. Like Chris Pratt.
Yeah, it's gonna be overwritten for sure. The film's directed by Wes Ball, who's done the Maze Runner movies.
I haven't seen any of those movies. Are they well regarded? Like, I don't know anything
about them. I think the first one's relatively well regarded. I think the other ones are like pretty like low budget and not super talked about. I guess there's a connection where like he's used to designing dungeons. I don't know.
What, I mean, there are big ass mazes in Breath of the Wild. So,
what I will say is Wes Ball, I believe, is and he called a shot, by the way, like something like 10 years ago. He was like, "I'd love to direct a Zelda movie." So good for him, I guess.
Good for him.
I think his next movie is actually, what is it called? Return to the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes? Have you seen that trailer?
They're doing more Planet of the Apes stuff.
They're doing more Caesar Planet of the Apes films. And I will say, actually, I think the trailer looks pretty sick. I think both you and I agree that the Planet of the Apes trilogy is like low-key, not respected enough, as one of the greatest sci-fi trilogies of all time.
I mean, like, I think they pulled off an extremely tough challenge of effectively rebooting the Planet of the Apes franchise, you know? Right.
So, I mean, I watched the Planet of the Apes, the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes trailer. Wes Ball's directing it. It looks solid, honestly. And again, it looks like it's a serious tone. It's heavily CGI, of course. It's all CGI because they're all, you know, they're all the apes. But there's a verisimilitude that I think is really cool. And so maybe, I don't know, maybe he can make some of the Zelda stuff work, you know, but I'm not especially optimistic.
I'm going through my head about all of, like, I don't think he played this one, but Nintendo did a remake of Link's Awakening on Nintendo Switch, and it kind of has kind of a tilt shift toy look to it.
Oh, sure.
Where there's like, you know.
Oh, I did play a little bit of that. Yeah, I never finished.
Yeah, there's like blurring around the screen and vignetting and stuff. And then, of course, there's like the more realistic look in Twilight Princess, or, you know, they've kind of settled on an art style with Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, that kind of splits the difference between Wind Waker and, you know, Ocarina of Time sort of thing. Like, I watch this and I watch a lot of nerdy stuff on all of the streaming services. You know, like my Netflix recommendations is just like a litany of nerdy animated shorts. You know, like they clearly know me, and like I just imagine, like, I would love to see a true anthology of Legend of Zelda in the same way that like Love, Death and Robots does anthologies of like sci-fi
different
shit
stories.
Or just like let's do a real old school one, like, you know, the Animatrix, where it's like different art styles, different stories within the universe of the Matrix. Like, what if you actually told the Legend of Zelda as a looping, consistent legend, and each legend that you're retelling has a different art style, a different tone, a different, you know, whatever. You know, Disney is doing that shit with Star Wars. You know, the Star Wars, what do they call it? Visions. Star Wars Visions.
Yeah, Star Wars
where
Visions.
Like they have different studios take a crack at the Star Wars mythology. Like, we're just in such a creative space for all of that stuff right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And this sound, and having Aviara, like, you know, connected, it just makes me worried that like they're gonna take the most predictable route versus what they could be doing. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
That's what's so interesting to me, right? Because it's like, yes, we know they're going to play it safe, but how do you play it safe with the existing Zelda franchise? Like, I don't know how you thread that needle, you know?
Something that is like basically unfilmable because it's not like they haven't fleshed out characters very well, and those games are like highly mechanical, and like it's just, yeah, it's a strange...
I mean, maybe they do like Wind Waker, where Zelda, like, or Link comes to Hyrule for the first time on a fucking boat or something, you know? Like, to be the, I don't know, man.
Like a stranger in a strange land story, you know, like that. And again, like, there's a
hook there. Like, what does a Boko Goblin look like?
Yeah, why does every town I meet have all of these pots, and why do I want to smash all of them?
I mean, maybe you do choose Breath of the Wild as the source material, because you do post Cataclysm, you have imagery that is familiar but evocative, right? Like old machinery that is coming to life, right? Yeah. Like those big crab laser things that are covered in moss, right? You have ruins, you have like mechanical creatures floating through the sky, a la, you know, like some sort of strange robotic thing.
Right.
And there's a sense of discovery in those games where like you don't know you don't know what the background is, right until you figure out like, oh, there's a whole cataclysm and he messed up, right? But
I mean, I think it's funny, like, you know, we've been playing those games, and like my son moved on to Tears of the Kingdom, and just like kind of replaying those games, I had forgotten that, and maybe this is actually something that they'll carry into the movie, which is they don't even say the word Triforce in those games.
Yeah.
They never even mention it, but the iconography is everywhere. It's on the temples. It's like on the crumbled ruins. It's on Link's freaking shield, but like they never even talk about it. It's just part of the fabric of the world. And like, you know, it must be important because I see these crazy statues of these gods holding this Triforce, but like they never even say the word. Yeah. And so I don't know, maybe they are willing to incorporate that stuff, but just as a world building technique versus a MacGuffin.
I would hope so, because it'd be really weird if someone was like, Link, you must find the Triforce, you know?
But that's what all the games have been besides those.
I know,
later ones, you know? I don't know.
But you say, like, imagine that as a live action film and you're brought back to like the 80s.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, it's that on the nose where you have to find the sword to, you know, find Bavmorda to unlock the skills and defeat the evil witch, you know, like all that kind of tacky stuff, you know, which like, I don't think it works anymore. So, I mean, the interesting then tack. So if we're going to, let's say we're predicting what is the safest route. And I think that is a more accessible way. Like, if Nintendo's explicit goal is to bring people who watch the films into the world of Zelda, the video game, and the world of Zelda video games is Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom vision, then you do that, but you just don't have the same mechanics. Or maybe you have, like, one mechanic. But there's no time there's no time whiny stuff. There's no, like, weird physics engine shit. Like,
how come Link can just fly through the ceiling sometimes? Like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, there's no, like, you know, live action Link eats like a big spicy pepper and can, like, climb mountains and stuff. Like, none of that stuff works, right? Like, you literally can't have any mechanic other than he shoots arrows and attacks with swords. Like, in Tears of the Kingdom, he's attaching, you can attach, like, swords to other swords. Like, it's not gonna work. but maybe, like, a bird hero works, right? Like,
yeah.
But again, that's so weird. Then it makes me think of the D&D movie where there's, like, weird, which is a comedy, you know, like the weird bird Arakakras.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm just fascinated by the story so much because I truly think that this marks the beginning of a, I don't want to say bright future because I feel neither positive nor negative about coming days of video game cinema. But I think it's coming. I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest. It could be an era. I think the era is coming. And maybe I'm wrong, but I feel pretty... If it's not being planned now, especially by Sony Pictures, then they're fucking crazy. Because now is the time, right? That era is coming. But yes, Mario Brothers started it, but because it's not live action, I think Zelda marks... it's not HBO The Last of Us, right? Because we're talking about general audience...
Yeah.
For the Legend of Zelda movie. I think this kind of marks the first true attempt. And I think whether or not it succeeds or fails, the era is coming. I firmly believe that. But it's such a bizarre, anomalous thing to choose to do it this way. Like both the directors, both the writers, the partners that they have on the project, and the fact that it's live action at all, you know?
What if, one more prediction for me, what if they do it like the Sonic movies and Link is the only animated thing and the rest of the people are like live action in Hyrule and they're like, what?
Yeah.
Who are you? And he's like, got any chili dogs or whatever, you know, so like Sonic is going to say. Like,
I mean, you joke, but Derek Connolly, who wrote the Jurassic World film, also wrote Detective Pikachu, which was pretty good, to be fair.
Oh, shit. Okay,
but
there you go.
Same idea, right? Like, so it could be a thing where all the Hyruleans are normal, non-animated. Yeah. I mean, it'd be super fucking weird if Link was animated, but everyone else was live action.
And then we can have a cool gamer revolution and demand that they change Link's teeth before they release it, and then they do it.
Yes, yes. okay, last question for you. Zelda in the rearview mirror. What is the next live-action Nintendo franchise that's going to see a film?
The next live-action Nintendo Metroid? Franchise... I feel like Metroid is such a, it's just not at the same level as like a Mario or Zelda, you know?
What about Star Fox, where like the characters are CG animated?
They should do it when they had these like, the marketing campaign for the original Star Fox had kind of like puppets, you know, like weird, freaky, like kind of Thunderbirds looking like puppets of like, I think it would be cool to do a Star Fox marionette movie.
Yes, like a Syphil and Ollie.
Like, I think it would just be a really like...
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, what else does Nintendo have?
You know what? Like, honestly, like, if I genuinely, truly, I'm going to guess, Animal Crossing.
I was just going to say, it seems like Animal Crossing is a safe, like, they could do something like that. You
it's
know?
Super safe. You get a bunch of, like, A-list comedic actors to be like, oh, you all bought property. You inherited property on an island.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just funny like island comedy ensues, right? Yeah. Like, and Animal Crossing is widely loved by people that do not play a lot of video games.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. There's like a raccoon man who's like the one CG dude who's like selling you supplies and keeping you on the island by force. Like, I genuinely think Animal Crossing is like a better than 50% odds of being the next live action thing.
they could have like a real kid, like, you know, land on the island. Like, I just, and like, imagine this trailer where the trailer starts with the kid getting bullied or beat up in school or whatever. And it's like, I just want to find some place where I can fit in. And then it's like, we're going on vacation. What? Like, what are we doing? And then like, they land on the island, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I could totally see something like that.
Gonna happen. Movie Moto, yeah. Back at it.
This is Miyamoto. I am here with a new decree. We're doing Pikmin.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is good. I was happy to get your take on it because you follow the movies more closely. But I like your idea of this is a terrifying new era of video game stuff in the movie scene.
Gird thy loins because it's coming.
ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. You can also find us wherever you find podcasts. We're on Spotify, Pocket Casts, all that good stuff. Do us a favor, leave us a review, and tell a friend.
All right. Until next time, everybody, thank you so much for listening.
Ciao.